You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I am Ahmed Fareed. First time here, first time in the man cave. So we have pretty good studios at NBC Sports. I mean, the Premier League studio, which I've been in, I've been locked in that like the last 5 days.
Huge TVs in there.
Huge TVs in the background, everywhere. And it's like, I've never seen a studio like that before. So I walked into that, I was intimidated. I walk in here, we have basketball courts. We got helmets everywhere. And then I just saw this. My favorite player of all time. I'm from Michigan. Barry Sanders signed jersey on the wall.
Are you going to try to take it?
Can I have it? Is it like a parting gift?
Ooh.
Like, you don't need it.
I don't know. Dan doesn't give stuff up very much.
You can't see it. You really can't. It's like off camera. So honestly, you probably wouldn't even miss it.
You know, Dan's got a long history of Barry Sanders going back to the draft. He interviewed them and he talked to him like the day he retired, and they've got a long history.
He was, you know, as a Lions fan growing up, you had very few things to be happy about. There really were. I mean, you might have, like, Eric Kramer was our best quarterback. And, like, no one knows who Eric Kramer is, but he was, like, my best quarterback growing up. And Barry Sanders was that guy. It's like, we're not making the playoffs. We're probably not even going to get close. But we have Barry Sanders, who has the most exciting one-yard runs of anyone in NFL history. But the problem was, it was like, that was most of his run, right? No, it's like, in some games, that was it. They were super cool. I loved Barry. I loved him. Studio is... So I was going to say, like, the Premier League studio is intimidating because it's got the TVs. This is intimidating. This is big. But I mean, how long did it take to get all this stuff?
Wow, that's a big question.
I believe a lifetime, I think.
About half the stuff in here is just from Dan's attic that we took when we moved. And we opened this studio about 2 years ago on TV. And if you look around, there'll be like a pair of socks, and they're Arnold Palmer socks. You know, or there's like a helmet from, you know, Robert Griffin.
So we have 3 hours, right? We can spend the whole 3 hours. I'm just like looking around, looking at the book covers. We do have three guests, though, today, and three really good guests. And a couple of them I know really well. Matt Maiocco. I used to work with him out in the Bay Area. I was out in San Francisco for about 5 or 6 years. He's covered the 49ers forever. We're a week away from the draft. And the 49ers really do have one of the most interesting picks in the draft, because I think a lot of people think Trevor Lawrence going number one, obviously. You got Zach Wilson going number two. Number three, who's going number three? I do a podcast at NBC Sports with Chris Sims, who, by the way, when you guys ask me, you go, who do you want on the show? I was like, all right, let's get someone to talk Premier League. Let's get Chris Sims on the show if we can. And then I'm watching Tuesday. There's Chris Sims on the show. Rebecca Lowe's on the show 2 days before I get here. I was like, you stole my ideas. You took them. Took them from me.
Just blocked you at every turn. That everyone that you had planned to talk to was previous guest.
No, it's good. We got Robbie Earle talking to Premier League. So we did get one of my friends there. But yeah, Matt Maiocco will break down kind of what the 49ers are going to do with the number three pick. And it really does. And there's been so much debate on what they should do, what they could do. Who is the better quarterback? Because clearly you have the flashy, can do it all, run, throw, new age quarterback out of the Kyler Murray, Josh Allen mold, and Justin Fields, or maybe Trey Lance, if you like him a little bit better. And I get that. But I, like I said, do a podcast with Chris Sims, who loves Mac Jones. Loves him. And a lot of people in the NFL love him, too, Paulie.
You worked out there for a while. You know the Niners. And Jimmy Garoppolo is 29 years old.
Yeah.
27 touchdowns, was in the Super Bowl, and was maybe two first downs away from having a Super Bowl ring. Is it premature to get rid of him? Obviously, they're going in a different direction.
That's a great question, right? What changed?
Nobody's talking about that. Is it premature?
What changed? Because they spent a second-round pick on him, and he was their new quarterback. Because all the talk before that was Kirk Cousins going to come here at some point. Kirk Cousins was like, well, that's not going to happen. Let's get our guy then. And that guy was Jimmy Garoppolo. And I will be so interested to ask Matt, what happened there? What changed over this past year? McLovin?
Doesn't Jimmy G only play six games a year? At a certain
That's
point, when you're looking
part
at a 10-year window, maybe they don't think he's durable.
And part of it, too, I wonder, you're right. You need a guy who's durable and can be there. And they have seen how the whole season, every NFL team sees how every season it can all fall apart if you lose your quarterback. I wonder if Jimmy G can still stay. There are some people that say, no, you cannot keep him. He's got to go. He makes a lot of money. But I think that's a good way to convince him, hey, Jimmy G, you make a lot of money. You can make a lot of money over there just as well. We might need you. I don't know. I'm going to pick Matt's brain about that. But I'm fascinated with Mac Jones. And one of my pet peeves is right around this time of year, we get drunk on some draft value. Do you know what I mean, Paulie? It's like if Mac Jones goes number three, that's crazy. He doesn't have a strong enough arm. That's a bust type pick. But if Mac Jones goes mid first round, end of the first round, great pick. He's an accurate quarterback. He can make all the plays. That's a good spot to have Mac Jones. It's like we're talking about two different humans here.
Dan always says this, if the Bears had taken Mitch Trubisky in the first pick of the second round, then he would have been a really nice quarterback and a nice value and not expensive. Remember Andy Dalton? I think McLovin, he was a second rounder, right? High second rounder. He was a really high-end production guy for a second round.
Yeah, Dan's big one was Reggie Bush. If Reggie Bush had been a second rounder, he would have a nice little career.
Yeah.
But he was, I think, the second overall pick. It's a different story altogether.
And I get it with Mac Jones. He's not flashy. He doesn't look great in or out of a uniform. You know, it's like, I get it. So, but he's highly successful in that 1 year at Alabama. We do have the death of the Super League. We're going to make sure it's still dead, right? The Super League, it was born. I was there. I was sitting on set with Robbie Earl and Robbie Musto and doing the Premier League show on Sunday. And our producer in my ear, Adam, goes, hey, I think we got to talk about this Super League thing. It's kind of seeming like
it broke when you guys were on the air.
It broke 100% when we were on the air. And it was during halftime of our game. And we go, okay, we'll mention it because the New York Times had just come out with a big story on it that this is happening. And Robbie Earl was a little skeptical because we've heard this before. It's like, we've heard Super League. We've been hearing this for 10, 20 years. All these big clubs are going to get together in Europe. But there was something really different about this. And we did see it because all the clubs made the formal announcement that had never been done before, that we are joining this big European football league. And so Robbie and Robbie, the two Robbies, were despondent almost. Because we're talking, you know, top four. This win could get this team into the top four. West Ham's in there. Chelsea's trying to get in. And then they get done saying that and they go, does that even matter anymore? Because top four normally gets you into the Champions League. But is the Champions League even going
to
be around?
So they understood in the moment what that would mean to the Premier League and the second tier teams and the other leagues. And I mean, is that what happened there, that they went too big too soon and the reaction was overwhelming?
They didn't. They should have consulted the two Robbies or any other football fan, you know, and part of me is like, I get it, right? You want to have the biggest clubs playing each other all the time. If in the Premier League, we didn't have Manchester City, Manchester United playing twice a year, or Arsenal, Tottenham playing twice a year, we'd say, what are we doing? Those teams should be playing all the time. And so I get it from the owner's standpoints of like Real Madrid and Manchester City. What, we've played maybe three times in the past 20 years? I don't know. You'd have to look at it. If you happen to meet in the Champions League, that's basically the only time you're going to play some of those big European clubs from other countries. So I get it. But it was just the structure there is so different, and it's what they hold on to. These smaller clubs can rise up in that idea. Even if they never do, they could.
I'd be curious to know from Robbie Earl where this is going to be in 5 years or 10 years, right? Because like you said, the concept has been rumored for 10 or 20 years, and it's clearly not going away. Mm-hmm. As because last I saw, Real Madrid and Barcelona were still in. Just odd. But so what happens in 5 years, say, like the economic fallout of all this, right? Or even of COVID, right? That every sports franchise is dealing with. What happens in 5 or 10 years from now where the Super League or the European League is still very much on the table?
Because the big clubs are still going to want an ownership of some of those biggest tournaments out there. They're still going to want to guarantee profits and guarantee their valuation. And I do think some of this maybe. All the sports leagues, honestly, every business around the world this past year has seen where they are vulnerable. They see where their business is vulnerable. If it all goes away and we have another pandemic, boom, this is where we're vulnerable. This is where we could have some trouble. And so I don't doubt that the football world saw that and said, wow, we have invested millions and billions of dollars into some of these clubs, and we just saw in a year how it could all go away. Let's try to think of a different way to make this structure. And yes, we'll see if that can happen. NFL, some rule changes proposed, actually voted on, and are going to happen. Nothing major in the NFL, but we do have some interesting new rules. We got Ben Volen on from the Boston Globe, senior writer. We'll talk about some Patriots stuff. They didn't get my favorite rule of the no onside kick anymore, but
you want to eliminate?
I'd be open to it. As you'll find out in these 3 hours, I'm open to some crazy changes. They might turn out to be terrible, and then I'll say they weren't my idea. But I'm always open to some crazy changes.
What about the overtime spot and choose that got shot down yesterday, where the teams, we talked about this like a month ago, where the team who wins a coin flip gets to decide who gets the ball and where. It's very complicated.
Yeah.
The other team gets the ball at the 20.
I didn't get the benefit of it. So one team would pick the spot on the field where the ball would be.
Right.
And the other team would say, all right, we want to be offense or defense.
Right.
So wouldn't that just, you'd end up putting it on the 25 every time, or 35, your own, right?
It's like name that tune, name that yard line. Yes. Like, we're going to go the 35, we'll go the 38.
But it would be like Wheel of Fortune. You know how Wheel of Fortune turned into RSTNLNE? Wait, two N's, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so everyone just kept doing that. So then we'll go, all right, we'll just give you those letters and now give us three extra letters.
So wait, that's what's on Wheel of Fortune now? I haven't seen the show in years. They give you RSNLT?
Yes. I haven't watched it in a few years, but last time I watched it.
You're right. RSNLT and E, and then you get at least another two consonants and a vowel, or three consonants and a vowel. It's like almost half the alphabet is already picked.
Exactly. So everyone would go up there. This is the final, right at the end. RSTLNE. And then Pat Sajak and Vanna got sick of it, and they go, all right, we'll give you those.
And it's, we got to be at least 15 years into them doing that.
Seriously?
I mean, oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, I haven't watched that show in at least a decade, and they did it then. So, yeah.
Why wouldn't they give you letters? I know it's obvious.
New thing they're doing.
Yeah.
Does the Price is Right give you the first two numbers of the how much the refrigerator costs? What else is happening out there?
You think Bob Barker's still the host?
Bob's not. He's gone.
Wait a minute. What?
Yeah. So, but wouldn't it be like that? Like every NFL team would figure out the yard line that's optimal, and that would be it every time. And then I guess it's just the other team if they trusted their offense or their defense more.
But you said you were into crazy rule changes.
I know.
And that's a crazy rule change.
But that doesn't make sense to me. I don't get the benefit of that one. The onside kick one is interesting to me because that proposal, right, is that you would have, instead of an onside kick, you have a 4th and 15 from like your own, what was it, 25 or something like that. So your own 25, 4th and 15. If you get it, you just keep going. Drive as usual. If you don't get it, the other team gets the ball right there.
Oh.
So if it was an incomplete pass right at the line of scrimmage, or if you get 10 yards, they get it there on the field. And I thought that was going to pass because onside kicks have become, no one recovers onside kicks anymore.
Well, they got a couple of years ago, they got rid of the run-up. So I think it was down to, it was 4% a couple of years ago. I think it was down to 2% of onside kicks are recovered.
And I think it was something even less of teams winning after they recovered the onside kick. So even in the rare cases where a team would get the onside kick, they didn't win the game. They might go to overtime. So I was intrigued by this because, okay, this gives teams an alternative. But I think what happened with that rule and why teams are reluctant to accept it is it does seem to favor the teams that have a quarterback, that have an offense. If you're the Bears and you have Mitchell Trubisky, you're probably saying, no, I don't know that I want to do the fourth and 15. So we're going to talk about all this with Ben Volen, who has been all over it for the Boston Globe. Talk a little Patriots with him as well. Robbie Earl, my friend and colleague over at NBC Sports on the death of the Super League. And maybe, Paulie, if something like this and Seton could ever happen again, we're going to get into MLB uniforms And that's going to be the hot button topic of the show, because Paulie has some opinions that I cannot stand behind.
You're West Coast guys. I'm going to save it, but I thought you'd be with me.
Okay. And speaking of the West Coast, Matt Maiocco, my friend at NBC Sports Bay Area, talking 49ers, the key to the draft. This is the Dan Patrick Show, 877-3-DP-SHOW. Email at dp@danpatrick.com, at DP Show on Twitter. We're live on Peacock all across the country, Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Are you guys in favor of a full sky judge replay umpire who can call the plays on the field from the booth without even, right now they sort of went in a middle ground where he can influence the officials on the field. He can call down. But would you like to have an official who is in the booth 100% of the time and can call pass interference if he wants to? Yes or no?
What if it just moves that way completely? You have no on-field officials. It's just all the big eye in the sky. We can see better sometimes anyway that way.
That'd be horrendous for the officials who work out all year to get their arms jacked to be in those tight uniforms. And what would they do with their arms? They couldn't show them off anymore.
Good call. You'd have to get a camera in the replay booth and even tighter tees, McLovin.
Yeah. Oh, the other poll was, what would you do if you ran the San Francisco 49ers at number three? Ooh. And I would throw in, by the way, you could have Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, the three quarterbacks, or how about you take Kyle Pitts? I know you traded up and you wouldn't trade up, but if you ran San Francisco, how about Jimmy G throwing up Kyle Pitts?
It's funny because a lot of 49er fans say, if you're going to do that trade, you got to know who you're going to pick. And then you tell them, well, I think they might pick Mac Jones. They go, you got to be able to change your mind. You can't get stuck on one guy. So we'll see. We'll talk to Mac Maiocco about what the 49ers are going to do. But let's welcome in Ben Volen from the Boston Globe, senior NFL writer. Hello, Ben. Thanks for taking time to talk to us here today. I read your story about the rule changes. So just right off the bat here, what do you think the rule changes that should get us most excited for this coming season? Doesn't seem like anything major, but what would you say?
No, they really didn't try to do anything major, especially in a COVID year. They didn't want to, you know, rock the boat too much. But the most interesting thing is adding these responsibilities to the instant replay judge, and they're towing a line very, very carefully here. You can tell it's like a half measure to appease the coaches who want less pressure on them to have to challenge, and the coaches just want the calls to be made right. And there's a lot of people in management and the competition committee, the ownership level, who aren't very comfortable with the idea of the instant replay official having sway, you know, on officiating and throwing a flag from the booth, and let's slow everything down to the nanosecond and frame by frame to see if there should have been an offensive holding call. So this is kind of like a half measure that I think some people inside the NFL are viewing a little skeptically, because it is taking them to another threshold that they don't usually like. They did that for a year when they allowed instant replay to be reviewed, and they hated it and they got rid of it. So this is kind of a measure to make the coaches happy. John Harbaugh from the Ravens and the coaches subcommittee were the ones who really pushed this rule. And so they're making them happy, but they're also kind of towing the line, and I think there are a lot of people skeptical of allowing the replay official to have too much influence.
Is it almost to prevent the disasters, like the big egregious missed call, just the big play? They don't want, because I almost feel like I've seen officials over the past couple of years, and I don't know how much communication is between New York and on the field, but, you know, dressed as officials, they come out with the earpiece in. It seems like there is some communication already going on, but is this going a little bit further, Ben?
No question, it's going a lot further. And I think the thing that Rich McKay, who's the chairman of the competition committee, he's the Falcons president, what he said yesterday is they're only going to allow the replay judge to view objective things. What did a guy step on a line? Was the ball over the goal line? Things that you would think would be objective, although anyone who's watched football knows there's a lot of gray area in a lot of that stuff. Interestingly, this proposal would not fix the Saints defensive pass interference call from the NFC Championship a few years ago, because that's a judgment call. That's a penalty. This is only for very objective things. Did the guy step on the sideline? Did he complete the catch? Did the ball hit the ground? So they're trying to finesse it, and we'll see how it works this year. But I think certainly this is something to appease the coaches. Clearly, they don't want to have to challenge anymore. They want the decision taken away from them. So I think the NFL, you know, in a best case scenario, this helps get the calls right, but it doesn't take away from the powers of the officials on the field. But we'll see how it works, you know, in reality.
Of the other rules, Ben, what was most interesting to you?
I mean, they're all kind of boilerplate stuff. I mean, the jersey thing is very interesting. They have opened up the single digit uniforms to linebackers and wide receivers, and everyone's going to be fighting for number one and number two, and, you know, their old college uniforms. But what I found so fascinating about this, I didn't know this rule existed until this rule got approved yesterday. But if you're a player and you change your jersey number for next year, you have to buy all your excess jerseys that are hanging around the warehouses for the NFL shop. You have to buy out the jerseys. But if you say, I'm going to change my uniform in 2 years from now, that gives the NFL enough time to still sell your jersey for next year. So there's a big financial component to this. And guys have to decide, is it worth changing their jersey if they have to spring for 4,000 jerseys of their old number?
So not only do you have to decide if you want to change your number, Ben, you have to call around to warehouses throughout the world. How many do you have? How many do you have of my jersey? How much are you selling them for? That's a lot of work for these players.
You just bought 3,000 of your own jerseys and you changed the numbers. So what are you going to do with them? It's a fascinating dilemma.
Is there a rule, Ben, that was not approved, that you expected to get approved, or maybe it's been tabled for years to come?
The only thing that surprised me, frankly, was that they did approve this rule that gave the expanded responsibilities to the replay judge. I actually didn't think the NFL was going to move that far. They had a bunch of fun proposals, and basically all the fun ones got voted down. And I think I did see that coming, just because the NFL, like a lot of these owners, they don't do change lightly. And, you know, instituting 4th and 15 as an alternative for the onside kick sounds great. I love it. It'd be a lot of fun. You know, it might make the NFL look a little arena footballish. So I think the owners are always kind of wary of that. The sky judge, as I said before, the NFL does not really want to take that step if they don't have to. And instead, they created a half measure. You know, the Bills had an interesting proposal about the timeline for when you can hire coaches. They think it's a distraction for their coaches who are in a playoff run to be interviewing for jobs. And maybe you're at a disadvantage if you make it all the way to the Super Bowl and a hiring team just wants to move on. But the NFL tabled all that stuff. So we've seen it the last 2 years. There have been fewer proposals, and the NFL has accepted fewer proposals. Just with COVID, they're not trying to rock the boat. They're trying to keep things as normal as possible.
Hey, Ben, if you'd have asked me a couple of years ago, I would have said the onside kick is gone. It's going to be gone within 5 years. Too dangerous, player safety. Now it almost seems like they're trying to make it work, and I wouldn't bet against it sticking around for years to come. Am I wrong in that, Ben?
No, and you know, that's another area where they approved of a half measure. You know, 4th and 15 would have taken a blowtorch to the onside kick. Instead, they're like, let's see if we can bring the play back. You know, they changed the kickoff rules so much because of health and safety that it rendered the onside kick completely, impossible to recover. I think the numbers I saw were that 4 of 67 onside kicks last year were recovered. That's like 5%. You need more than that. You need the play to be competitive again. So they instituted this half measure where they're limiting the number of players the defense can have in the box. You can now only have 9 players in the box. The offense can only have 5 on either side. So, you know, maybe that measure will help improve the odds of the onside kick. It's just a 1 year thing. The 4th and 15 will always be around. And if they just can't get the onside kick, back to a competitive play, then I think, you know, then they'll seriously look at 4th and 15, but they don't want to just take that major step. They want to see if they can fix the play first.
Ben, I'm going to give you a chance to be wrong. What do you think Bill Belichick and the Patriots do on draft night?
Well, that's an area especially being wrong about the Patriots in the draft is my specialty. Look, I think the play is for the quarterback is definitely there. I don't think there are as many teams in front of them that want you know, the final two quarterbacks, whoever they may end up being, whether it's Lance and Fields, maybe Mac Jones. But I think a lot of teams would like to trade out of their picks. And I think the Patriots really have to be more worried about the teams behind them trading up in front of them for a quarterback like a Washington or a Pittsburgh or New Orleans than, you know, Atlanta, Philly, Carolina. I just don't see these teams being in it right now. So, of course, you know, the play is there for the Patriots to go get Trey Lance. And I think that'd be terrific. Sit him beside Cam Newton for a year, maybe even find a role for Trey Lance, you know, while maybe do the two quarterback thing like the Saints did with Taysom Hill and Drew Brees. So I would like the Patriots to make a bold move to get one of these quarterbacks. And I think the opportunity is there. That said, this is the Patriots. They'll probably take a guard from Rutgers, you know, with the 15th pick. And I do like the idea, too, of maybe they take a real player at 15, but they can always trade up into the back end of the first round. Go get number 31 and go get Kellen Mond or Kyle Trask or whoever they like there. So, to me, it's a major disappointment if the Patriots don't come out of the first 2 days of the draft, the first three rounds, if they don't have a quarterback, because clearly they just don't have the answer on their roster. And they can't keep doing this where they're just kind of hoping and praying that a quarterback falls in their lap. They need to be bold and go do something about it.
If you could poll the fans right now, who do you think they would pick to be their quarterback next year and maybe into the future? Cam Newton, rookie quarterback, or trade back for Jimmy G, Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, Jimmy G is the guy that I think fans realistically want as the answer. I just don't think it's going to happen this year. I just get the sense the Niners feel they have a championship caliber roster and they're not ready to turn that team over to some rookie, especially coming off a COVID year and a, you know, a strange pre-draft process. So I think they're serious about keeping Garoppolo. I think I do think he'll be in play next offseason, but I just don't see it right now. The Patriots fans are not into Cam Newton. There's been a lot of unrest from the fans. Like, this is the best that you guys could do again after the season that Cam just had. So we'll see, but clearly rookie, you know, the fans are ready for the team to invest in a rookie. I don't get the sense that they necessarily want Fields over Lance or anything of that nature. I keep hearing that Lance would be a tremendous fit for the Patriots offense. Again, he's a guy who needs to sit. So that's, you know, no pressure situation with the Patriots. Cam can play for this year and Trey Lance could sit, but the fans overwhelmingly want this team to go big, go bold, and invest in a quarterback.
Well, Ben, I'm rooting for you. I don't want you to be wrong. I want you to be right. You're right about a whole lot. Ben Volen, senior NFL writer for the Boston Globe. A lot of great insights on the rule changes in the NFL and what the Patriots may or may not do. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Guys, that's kind of – I was a little surprised by that. I thought he was going to say rookie quarterback. Patriots fans want a fresh start, get one of these rookie quarterbacks. There are a lot of dynamic ones in the draft. But I guess Jimmy G – one man, what's the quote? One man's what is another man's what? I forgot the
garbage
quote,
treasure.
Yeah,
trash is another man's treasure.
Is that what it is? I didn't want to call anyone trash.
If it's not, that should be, because that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it matches.
Yeah,
but I guess it could be McLovin.
Wasn't Jimmy G like the gold in San Francisco? Did they pay him like $80 million? Wasn't he the one true answer, a quarterback, just 3 years ago?
Took him to the Super Bowl.
What happened to all that?
I don't know. You got to win it.
If he handed off to Raheem Mostert about two more times, he got a ring.
The pass down the middle of the field, right at the end. McLovin?
Doesn't it feel, though, and I know I think everyone in this room feels this way, that if the Niners take Mac Jones at number three, it's almost like they're drafting Kirk Cousins at number three.
The Kirk Cousins, I feel like everyone says Kyle Shanahan's ideal quarterback is Kirk Cousins. And I wonder if that makes him mad at all. Not that Kirk Cousins, I think, is an underrated quarterback. I think he is legitimately a top 10 quarterback.
Is he properly rated? He seems like, you know, some guys are not overrated or underrated. He seems properly rated. He's kind of like,
no,
ranked like 13th in the league or something.
But I think most people would put him in the 20s, don't you think? When they talk about Kirk Cousins, they're like, Kirk Cousins, he's 20s, can't win on prime time.
10 feel, top 10 feels gaudy for Kirk Cousins. I mean, if you want to list them, we could do it in the break or now. I think you could get to 10 pretty quick.
All right, we can do that. You look at some of the numbers. I know stats lie, but passing yards, passing touchdowns, deep down the field. With a team that has a heavy run game, he was able to make a lot of impact in the passing game and do it without one of their top receivers from last year, Stephon Diggs, and bring along a rookie, Justin Jefferson, who probably wouldn't have been able to do that without a good quarterback on his side. I can make a case for Kirk Cousins' top 10. I also want you guys to make a case, because I've already said that I am totally on board with any new crazy rule change in any sport, quite honestly. I have a lot of them for baseball that my friends have heard over and over and over again, and maybe I will stick you with here today at some point. We should do that, though. We should do a rule change. You all come up with a rule change.
Us four?
You four.
We come up with one. Okay.
You come up with one. And what I'll do is I'll rule good rule, bad rule.
We'll do good that. Rule, bad rule, Seton. That sounds like a segment.
Good rule, bad rule.
Do we need music for good rule, bad rule, or are we just going to leave it on natural?
What kind of music do you have in mind?
I'll come up with something special just for this.
Special music for good rule, bad rule. I like it.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Knicks are good. Or they're kind of good, Paulie.
I mean, have you noticed something that, can you smell it in the air? Because I haven't noticed this in about a decade, maybe over a decade. Knicks fans are out again. They're out in the community. They're talking. They're on social media. Fritzy's wearing a Knicks sweatshirt that he got for free probably in 07, and he hasn't worn since, I'm guessing, the Carmelo Anthony.
I had to dig back into the deep recesses of the closet. There was some cobwebs and some, you know, little bit of a mustiness going on.
Yeah,
but you
some
know
mothballs.
What? We dusted off, and we'll see what happens here. But this is a good day to wear the Knicks up. If you asked me to name Knicks, I'd probably say like John Starks and Mark Jackson and Oakley and Ewing and people like that, the Louis Orr, Rory Sparrow.
McLovin?
I'm a Sixers fan. I want to put that, but the Knicks are not good. We all know this, right? They've beaten a bunch of load management or scrub teams. They're Julius Randle and seven G League players.
But they don't need to be good. They just need to be not bad.
But you have to understand, half these guys were on the Bakersfield Jam and the Delaware 87ers last year. They're not like a robust NBA lineup.
Seton?
Don't take anything that Andrew is saying seriously right now. Okay, this is nothing more than a Sixers fan wanting the attention back on Philadelphia rather than the New York Knicks.
And a Sixers fan who lives in Brooklyn and likes to attach himself lightly to the Nets.
Correct, as long as the Bucks aren't playing.
Right. Well, you guys are right. We should get the Knicks talk in, because those five playoff games they play before bowing out will go quickly. So we should get the talk in right now.
They would kill to have five playoff games.
See what you did there? Quickly. Who hit the three?
Oh.
Hello.
Boom. Coming from a Lions fan, five playoff games sounds amazing. That's awesome.
But isn't it like that with some franchises? Like the Oakland A's have won 11 in a row. I don't know if they're a contender. And the Phoenix Suns, you know, they're almost in first, or they're right close to first. The relevancy makes you feel better as a fan. And, you know, you obviously want to win the title, but relevancy just feels better.
Do you guys buy into the fact that basketball is better, the NBA is better when the Knicks are good, or the Celtics are good, or in the NFL is better when the Cowboys are good, which hasn't happened for a while. Do you guys buy that?
I think I kind of do. I think that sports are better when the bigger markets are doing well and are getting taken down by smaller markets.
Yeah, the Knicks are also easy to cover. All the media is within a couple blocks of them. They have their own network. Celebrities still go to their games when they stink, and when they're good, every celebrity comes out of the woodwork.
McLovin's shaking his head.
Well, I feel like the NBA has proven small markets could be big. Like everyone would stay up to watch the Warriors, and then when that team broke apart, the ratings nosedived, and everyone loved when LeBron was in Cleveland. So I'm not sure you need the big markets.
I almost wonder if we're just old, because would say, why is basketball better if the Knicks are good? The Knicks have never been good. Why is that good?
We can't refer to San Francisco as a small market.
No.
Well, Golden State is
Is that the whole San Francisco? I don't know, because you were out there. It's like,
they're,
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, they like were Oakland, but they were bad for so long. And Oakland a lot of times does get overlooked. Like the Oakland A's 11-game winning streak. The bigger story out in San Francisco and the Bay Area is, I'm sure, the Giants exceeding expectations. Haven't won 11 in a row, but the Giants are the bigger club out there.
So that's like New York with the Nets and the Knicks. And the Nets exactly. are always the B team to the Knicks.
Yeah, you would never say Brooklyn is a small market, but they are still overshadowed a little
but
bit.
But going back to the Knicks, it feels like McLovin said, they're not great. They're not contending, but they feel like they have somewhat likable players. They don't have a bunch of overpaid guys who are past their prime. Like, no offense, Penny Hardaway, Steve Francis, in the days where they'd pay some guy after he got injured.
You're saying they're likable.
Likeable.
They're a likeable Knicks team.
Yeah, you don't know them. Nobody knows them except for Julius Randle. But yeah, likeable.
Fritzy, if they lose three in a row, will you put that?
It'll go right back in the hangar.
Right back in storage.
And the likeable Knicks, you have to remove yourself from the owner, which seems to be a very unlikable character. But you know, if you want to root for the Knicks, that's also going to pad the pockets of Mr. Dolan, which some people would prefer not to.
Their moment in the sun. We'll give them that. Did you guys brainstorm any rule changes? So, McLovin?
Yeah, I think for this game, we have to take off the fumble out of the end zone because nobody on earth likes that word.
You know, there is one person on earth who likes that.
Sims?
Role. Yeah, he's done it on this show with you guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's annoying. Okay, so, but mine is there's a small penalty on a kickoff at a punter when the gunner runs out of bounds and it's a 15-yard penalty. That drives me insane. Do you guys know that rule where the guy who on the kickoff team runs out of bounds and he draws a flag because they say if you run out of bounds, you'll get a full head of steam? It's totally nuts.
So what? You want to allow them to fully go as far out of bounds as they want and come back?
Yeah, they can weave in and out of the coaching staff. I think that'd be awesome, first of all. But second of all, I mean, it takes a long time to run out of bounds. It's not like you get this huge advantage. Anything to get less flags on punt plays, I will do anything for it because it's the worst.
If you allow that, though, players who are on the sidelines
have to be blocked. Fritzy? Just lay that guy out.
Can hit. Are you okay with that?
I'm totally. Like the old Jets staff that used to form a wall and trip like three. Yes. Okay. I say make it all in play.
Good rule. So I'm going to give that a good rule.
You're approving that one.
I'm approving that rule.
So basically everyone on all 53 on both sides are in play during the punt.
Exactly.
That's fantastic.
If you're going to go on the sidelines, you can do that. You're going to get hit.
I think assistant coaches, too. He might want to stick a foot out, whatever.
Yeah. The guys in the big jacket, too. You know, those guys. I like it. Good rule. All right. Well done. Fritzy, you got one?
Yes. I can't stand the guy trying to cross the pylon and get and score. And then the penalty is the other team gets it at the 20-yard line that you're getting penalized. I cannot stand. I think at the worst, you got to put the ball 10 yards away or 20 yards away.
You're talking about the fumble out of the end zone. Touchback for the other team,
yes,
right?
Well, I think is way too harsh a penalty.
McLovin just said that.
I just said that.
We shouldn't even discuss that.
I thought
one.
You were talking more about the running out on the sidelines guy during a special teams play.
He wasn't.
Well, I said I thought that rule.
Ivan knows that Tom wasn't listening to the segment.
He wasn't. Although, if we are going to put that into play, I'm going to say, no, you know what? Because we said that that's not allowed. Bad rule change. I don't even know what the rule change would be.
But where would you put the ball
This could be the whole show. This could be the whole show. You know, I've always thought with that rule, if we are going to do the fumble out of the end zone, whatever, da 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 da, I think that you should get the ball back at like the 5-yard line or something like that. Actually, I don't know. That seems about reasonable.
But you got to keep the ball.
It seems very punitive to give the ball to the other team, but. No, Fritzy, we're not even discussing that one. No good rule or bad rule. Seton, do you have one?
Yeah, I would change the rule where on a punt or a kickoff, you can't run out of bounds and come back in. I would do that one. Sorry. No, I have a rule. What I would think you should be able to do is trade draft picks for information.
Ooh.
So, for example, right? Say you're the 49ers and you call up the Jets and you're like, hey, look, I'll give you a 6th rounder if you just tell me who you're taking. Who are you taking number 2 in the draft? And then I won't tell anybody, but if I give you this 6th round pick, you have to take the person you say or I get my pick back.
Okay, and then the Falcons at the 4 spot could call up the 49ers and say, we'll give you a 6th if you tell us so we can plan our strategy.
And then they're going to be like, well, how about a 5th? Okay, cool.
And then everyone knows.
Yeah, dude, you could trade draft picks for information if the other team is willing to do that.
I wish the Bears could have done that a few years ago with the Niners and Trubisky.
It'd have to be more than you just get your pick back, though, I think. It's like you'd have, I'll give you a fourth round pick for this information. If you don't pick that guy, though, I get a third rounder back.
Okay. Yeah, that's even better. Look at
McLovin.
But why don't you just tell the team you're going to take a guy who you know will already be gone? So you're lying. You take it. You say, oh, we're going to take this guy who's going in the second round. So there's going to be so much gamesmanship.
Yeah, okay.
I want to see it play out. Good rule. Approved.
Yes.
Seating your rules in.
Yes.
Paulie?
All right, I'm going to go quick, but I brought this up a long time ago, and Dan kind of liked it. A starting position player should have to handle all kicking on a football team.